Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and I am the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which is a podcast, obviously, but also a blog. Today's episode features an interview with Nika Kanai, who is a naturopathic doctor. And to be honest, before I interviewed her, I literally had no idea what a naturopathic doctor was. So we actually discussed the difference between a naturopath and a naturopathic doctor in today's episode. A little bit about her though. She is a naturopathic doctor and blogger living in Orange County, California. She focuses on integrative and preventative and personalized medicine, and she wants to find the root cause of her patients' health concerns. Her main areas of focus, which we actually discuss at length in this episode, are women's health, gut health, and skin conditions. I mean, you can never have enough tips for keeping your skin healthy and glowing, and all those anti-aging tips are just so helpful. She's also very interested in the prevention and management of chronic disease, anti-aging, and longevity. She loves forming strong relationships with her patients and wants to empower them to create time and space for self-care and self-healing. In the last year, she also started a blog called Natural Nika to give women the information and inspiration they need to achieve optimal health, wellness, happiness, all done naturally. Nika really knew how to break down the complex science behind naturopathy and explain it to us in a more simplistic way. We talked extensively about gut health and adaptogens and, like I mentioned earlier, skincare. So I find that this episode is very, very, very informative. I actually went back and took some notes in the show notes. I'm going to include a bunch of the recommendations she gave. And without further ado, I just want to give a nice little shout out to today's episode sponsor, which is Blooming Lotus Jewelry. Blooming Lotus Jewelry is an intentional brand of handmade jewels created to support your soul grow, prosper, and blossom. Each piece of jewelry is lovingly handcrafted and filled with purpose and meaning. I'm actually friends with the creator and owner of Blooming Lotus Jewelry, and let me tell you, she has a heart of gold. Jen is so charity-oriented. She actually gives back 5% of all of her sales to a foundation called Support the Kid for Cancer Organization. And in addition to that, she also supports Autism Society of America, the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and in October, a portion of the breast cancer awareness bracelet sales go towards the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Blooming Lotus Jewelry has an extensive line of jewelry, including mollusk necklaces. What I really like about their mollusk necklaces is that they have different variations for men as well. She also sells mantra bars, mantra coins, gemstone bracelets, intention cuffs, crystal necklaces, just to name a few. She literally has every sort of crystal jewelry out there. It's amazing. I personally have a mantra coin necklace. It's very simple, and I wear it while I meditate or while I'm practicing yoga, and really when I just want to feel some inspiration. And that brings me to another point. One of the cool features about Blooming Lotus Jewelry is that since each piece is handmade with intention, you can search her jewelry by its purpose. So for example, she has pieces such as her carnelian stone bracelets that were made with the intention of bringing about abundance and manifesting success. So if you are looking to bring about a certain intention in your life, such as love, creativity, balance, serenity, or the like, you can definitely find that within the Blooming Lotus Jewelry line. If you'd like to get your own Blooming Lotus Jewelry, head over to bloominglotusjewelry.com and you can use the code BYOK for a discount. Thank you so much to Blooming Lotus Jewelry for believing in my podcast. And as always, thank you to you guys for supporting the BYOK podcast sponsors. And without further ado, let's get on to Nika's episode.
Thank you.
Hi, Nika, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm excited to jump right in, too. Would you mind just giving me a brief background about yourself before I start prodding you with all the medical questions?
Of course. So I live in Orange County, California, but I actually grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, which is kind of random. I got my bachelor's in public health sciences, and then I decided to be a naturopathic doctor. So I went to school at Bastyr University in San Diego, and I graduated last June and was just licensed this past October, and now I'm seeing patients virtually and in a couple offices in Orange County.
Very cool. So at the offset, what is the difference between a naturopath and a naturopathic doctor?
Sure. That's a question that I often get, and most people don't know the difference. The best way I can describe it is as a naturopathic doctor, we're actually licensed as primary care physicians. So we're kind of trained in conventional standard of care. We're able to, you know, order labs, make diagnosis, whereas a naturopath is kind of trained in the principles of naturopathic medicine and naturopathy, but they're not licensed the same way we are. They're not really able to, like, interpret labs, make a diagnosis, and kind of treat as a doctor. And, you know, both are great. I just think it's really important that you know the difference before you go and see a practitioner. So a naturopath would kind of function as more of like a health coach or a holistic health coach in that way. But they are trained in the principles of naturopathy.
So interesting. So what is the study of naturopathy?
So naturopathic medicine, or the study of naturopathy, we kind of say that it was created by our elders. They really are the people who created the principles. So some of the principles, there's six main ones. One is using the healing power of nature. So kind of, they believe that the body has an innate ability to heal itself, and our bodies were kind of created to function in a state of health, and kind of using the power of nature, plants, herbs, things like that, to treat the body and help it be able to heal itself. Really focuses on finding like the root cause of a problem instead of treating a disease, prevention. So really principles like that are kind of what makes naturopathic medicine or naturopathy what it is. Yeah.
So interesting. So it actually sounds like instead of putting a Band-Aid over a wound or like a sickness, you're like actually trying to go to the cause of it.
Yes, exactly. That's like one of the biggest principles, definitely.
I love that. So, I mean, I don't know. I can only speak for myself, but growing up, I traditionally only saw, you know, Western medicine doctors. Yeah. And, you know, when we were sick, we just took antibiotics or, you know, whatever they prescribed. So what is the difference between your practice and, I guess, Western medicine? I know that there's different principles, but what about when it comes to, like, treatment?
So that's a great question. The way I was trained was really to use both. That's actually one of the things that kind of drew me the most to naturopathic medicine is I wanted like an integrative model because, for example, I just had a sinus infection. I took antibiotics. So I believe that there's a time and place for kind of both forms of medicine, if you will. So when someone comes to my practice, I will first try to find the root cause of their health complaints. So if they come to me with a diagnosis, I'll use that. If not, we'll order labs and kind of go about it that way. And so if someone comes back and, you know, they have strep or they have a sinus infection, I will give them an antibiotic. I'm not going to necessarily, you know, if they have a bacterial infection, I will treat it and use conventional standard of care. But what I do is I always start with the least invasive therapy first, and I'll always try to start with natural therapies before I turn to pharmaceuticals. So I rarely use pharmaceuticals. So I'll always start with things like lifestyle modification. So like self-care, stress management, I think really plays a big role in stress. I always include that in every treatment plan. I'll turn to things like herbs or vitamins and nutrients and, you know, modifying their diet, looking at their sleep, kind of treating them as a whole person. Whereas a Western doctor might just go straight to like the pharmaceutical agent or the drug.
So would somebody go to you, per se, if they, in lieu of going to see, like, a regular general Western practitioner?
They could. So we are licensed as that. My personal, the place that I think I focus the best in is kind of like, we call it adjunctive care. So because of there's a lot of politics that goes on and we're not able to bill to insurance and things like that. So oftentimes I'll have someone have their primary care physician use them for labs and like if they need a drug prescribed, things like that, because it's just a little bit easier. And I really like to provide care alongside of another doctor. I love like working in a team with like their gynecologist or their primary care physician and kind of provide therapies that go along with what they're getting from their other doctors.
I love that. That's so interesting. There's definitely strength in numbers, and the more information, the better.
Definitely. Yeah.
So I also wanted to talk to you about a couple conditions that a naturopathic doctor could be most effective at fixing. Like, what are some common, I don't want to say like diseases, but common issues that you see coming into your office a lot?
So that's a great question. Definitely, I think the thing that I've been getting the most is fatigue. It's crazy how many people just feel like they are chronically too tired to function. I've seen people like lose their jobs over it. So that's a great one. Anxiety and depression is another really great area that I see naturopathic medicine really doing great things for, because, you know, a lot of people don't want to be on all the medications. They're having really bad side effects. Then naturopathic medicine can be really effective for that. Things like thyroid disorders, a lot of hormonal imbalance things like PCOS, people struggling with like irregular periods, it can be really helpful. And then another area that I'm really passionate about is autoimmune disease. It can be really helpful for kind of preventing autoimmune disease from happening or kind of slowing down someone's progression to like a really bad stage of the disease. So, I mean, I think it's great for so many things, but those are some of the things I see the most often, and I think it can be the most powerful for.
That's so interesting. I didn't realize that there was also that other aspect of it that you treated, like anxiety. I would never think that.
Yeah.
So let's, like, stick with fatigue for a minute, because I feel like me and everybody around me, because I sit in an office all day.
I know.
We're always just, like, tired, and I mean, even myself, like, I eat a healthy diet, I do yoga, I work out, but I'm tired. I mean, and of course, at the end of the day, you're naturally tired, but like, somebody who comes into your office and they're like, listen, I'm overly tired, it's so hard to get through each and every day, what are some modifications that you would suggest to them?
So the first thing I would do is, the most important thing is to find like what is causing the fatigue. So I kind of, you know, I'll do all the labs, like, is it their thyroid? I often do like saliva cortisol tests to see if that's it. Is it their sleep? Is it stress? And then the modification, really, I tailor it to the root cause, you know, so I'm not going to treat everybody the same. But oftentimes we'll do some sort of sleep hygiene. It's crazy how many people just aren't getting sleep. They're either having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. So we'll work on that. Oftentimes I'll have people regulate their sleep schedule. It's so crazy. It's the most basic thing, but having a set time where you fall asleep and a set time where you wake up can be so effective. I'm the worst at that. So that's really good. Other things, I love herbal medicine for fatigue. I think adaptogenic herbs can be so helpful for increasing your energy. So I often do a blend of herbs to kind of increase somebody's energy without giving them like the jitters of caffeine or coffee. So those are definitely some of my favorites. But again, it really depends on like what I find to be the root cause of their low energy.
So since you mentioned adaptogens, and I feel like they're like all the craze right now, and I feel like it kind of keeps coming up in conversation, what are some of your favorites?
Oh, I have so many. It's so funny. They're becoming so popular, and it's just so interesting to me. So I love, everybody talks about it, but I love ashwagandha. That is such a powerful herb. And that's one of the ones we were kind of taught is good for most people. Rhodiola is another amazing herb for energy and kind of to uplift your moods. It's funny because people say that it's relaxing, but it's actually the one I tell people not to take at night because it can kind of stimulate them. So it's interesting how, you know, you hear different things. So those are two of my favorites in terms of energy. I love holy basil for women because it can give you energy, but it's not, it's also calming at the same time. I know that doesn't make sense to a lot of people, but when you like study the herbs and look at them, they really kind of give you what they need, if that makes any sense. So those are definitely probably my favorite adaptogens.
And how do you choose to ingest them? I know some people throw them in smoothies. Other people, like, make recipes with them. But I'm always worried when you integrate them into recipes that you're going to actually lose, like, the potency or something of it. Yes. How do you feel about that?
I definitely think you kind of lose the potency. I tell people, like, if you're putting it in a recipe, it's obviously better than not getting the herb. But I always try to tell my patients everything has a therapeutic, like, dose. So many of these herbs, they're not going to do what they're meant to do unless you're getting, like, the right amount. The most potent way to get it is through a tincture. I know it's not fun. It doesn't taste great. It honestly tastes awful. But that's kind of the best way to get, you know, the most bang for your buck, if you want.
So what is that? I'm sorry. Like, what? How do you?
No problem. So it's basically, if you see these, like, droppers of the herbs. So what it is they actually take, like, really strong alcohol, and then they'll let the herbs sit in alcohol for, honestly, the shortest 2 weeks and sometimes, like, up to a year. So you get, like, it's a really, really strong concentrate of the herb in an alcoholic base.
Wow, I had no idea. I've actually only seen it in the powdered form.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so they definitely, I think because, like, it's a lot more trendy, you know, like, moon juice and places like that has the powders and things like that. And it's so effective as a powder as well. Or, like, I love them as teas also. But definitely I love tinctures. That's kind of the thing that I use the most, but I love them as dry herbs or tea as well. I just don't know how I feel about putting it in a recipe, because I do think you're not able to get as much that way.
And do you have, like, a favorite brand, like a reputable brand that you would recommend?
Yes, I have so many, and it like really depends on the adaptogen, but I'll name a few. There's a medical grade supplement company called Integrative Therapeutics. They have kind of different adaptogenic blends depending on what you need. So if you need to, like, calm down, you're, like, tired and wired, or if you're just exhausted and you need a little boost, I love Gaia, like G-A-I-A. They have really good adaptogenic formulas. I love, let's see, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. There's a brand called Vitanica that's made by a woman's health naturopathic doctor who I've shadowed, and I just think she's absolutely incredible. You can find it at, like, Sprouts and Whole Foods, and she has really great adaptogenic blends also.
Oh, so good to know. I'll definitely include those in the show notes too.
Great.
So before, just going back to the whole fatigue diagnosis again, you mentioned you would check a patient's cortisol levels.
Yes.
And I feel like that's something that is a very common problem, but it often goes, like, undiagnosed. Can you talk about that a little bit and, like, what exactly you look for?
Of course. This is, like, my favorite thing to talk about, because the term adrenal fatigue has become, like, really trendy. It's kind of like a buzzword. And I honestly think most people have it. So we were taught that it's actually HPA axis dysfunction. So basically some sort of dysfunction between what goes on between your brain and your adrenals and the signaling of cortisol. So long story short, when you're exposed to stress, you know, you pump out, your adrenals pump out cortisol or the stress hormone. So some people are in, like, an acute short-term stress state, and so they have high cortisol on the test. Then let's say you're, like, in school, or you have a job that you hate and you're working constantly for, like, a few years, then you kind of, like, your adrenals keep pumping out cortisol. They're not able to keep up with the demand, and now you actually have lower cortisol. So it's interesting. You can basically see people who have high cortisol, people who I call flatliners, that they're really stressed out, but they actually have no cortisol. And then you're able to see, like, is their cortisol high or low at what point of the day? And then you can kind of tailor your treatment that way. So I just had a patient whose cortisol was actually lower at a certain time, and so I gave her an adaptogen at that time to kind of spike her cortisol.
So interesting. And what, I'm trying to think how to craft this question.
Of course.
So when it comes to cortisol, aside from fatigue, like, what are some of the other side effects from having high or low cortisol?
So there is a good amount. I often see, like, energy is a huge one. Anxiety, things like that can be related to it as well. A lot of people who have difficulty losing weight, that has a lot to do with your cortisol, just because cortisol and your insulin are really intertwined. And so if you have a cortisol, like, if it's too low or too high, you can often have blood sugar irregulation. So that's going to play into your weight. that'll play into your mood, your cravings, appetite, things like that.
And what kind of tests do you take to actually, like, see how your cortisol levels are? Is it a blood test, or?
It's actually, so you can do a blood test. Most doctors will do a blood test. The problem with that is it's just one reading. And so your cortisol is supposed to fluctuate naturally. When you wake up, it's supposed to be the highest at like 6 a.m. to like 9 a.m. And then it's supposed to kind of like gradually taper off and then be the lowest around, let's say, like 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So what I prefer to do is a saliva test. So you'll actually spit in a tube at four different times in the day. And then you get a graph compared to what it's actually supposed to look like. So I can really see, like, is your cortisol way lower in the morning? Or, you know, if you're having trouble falling asleep, is it too high at night? It's really cool, actually.
That's so funny that you just said it's really cool, because in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a nerd. Like, I want to take this test just to see, like, what my cortisol levels are.
Yeah, I love it. For me personally, it made the biggest difference, because I used to just take adaptogens all the time. And then I realized, like, you know, I don't really have, like, any cortisol production. I'm just flatlined. So, you know, you need to take, and then I basically, we were taught to give different adaptogens based on, like, each result of the test. So, like, there's, like, three different categories of adrenal fatigue or HPA axis dysfunction, and we kind of prescribe or recommend adaptogens according to each, which category you fall in.
So interesting. So I also want to talk about gut health, because I feel like that's another trendy kind of, you know, diagnosis that everybody is talking about lately.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear your perspective from a naturopathic, you know, point of view.
Of course. I think gut health is so important. It's also so fascinating. There's just so much research coming out. And, you know, before it was something that everyone thought was like a buzz topic, and it was a trend, and it wasn't legitimate. And now so many, like, conventional Western medical doctors or people with PhDs are really realizing that there's such a huge connection between the health of your gut and things like autoimmune disease, obviously things like irritable bowel syndrome, and now, like, anxiety, moods, everything like that. I think there's a huge relation between it and the skin, which is, like, kind of skin's, like, my number one passion. So I think it's so important for everyone. The one thing that I have to be careful about is, you know, being online, so many people kind of make these blind recommendations, like, do this for gut health, do that for gut health. And just like everything else, everyone's gut is so different. For the most part, there are some general things I think everyone should be doing to kind of, like, ensure the health of their gut. But I definitely go about it a different way, where I based on lab results or a certain protocol. I think it's really individual, but I think the topic's really important, definitely.
I love that. So what would you recommend to somebody who wants to kind of, like, amp their gut health? Like, what are some recommendations?
So as a whole, one thing that we were kind of taught to really focus on is just decreasing inflammation. And I know that sounds, like, very general, but you have to think about it this way, like, your intestines, they have to work really hard, and the food that you eat really does affect the state of your gut. So I really focus on, like, an anti-inflammatory type diet. So really reducing, like, refined sugars, processed foods as a whole, things like alcohol can be really damaging. And then I really focus on foods that have, like, they're refreshing, they have a lot of water, they're kind of healing to the gut, would be, like, things like cucumber, moving into the herbs, like things like aloe. I love herbs. We use herbs called demulcents. So think of aloe vera juice. It's a gel. So these are herbs where once you actually put them in cold water, they form like a cooling gel for the gut. So one is called slippery elm. Another is actually called marshmallow, which is kind of funny. And then aloe. So things like that are great to just have. Fiber is great. It's ensuring that you're going to, like, eliminate everything properly. And then there's a lot of topic about probiotics, obviously. That's kind of, like, the number one thing. And I think if there's one thing that most people should do is to take a probiotic. That's why I love your name, Drink Get your fermented foods, because your gut microbiome, or, like, the healthy bacteria in your gut, there's just so much research that they affect, like, your immune system, your anxiety, your moods, your stress, your acne, eczema, everything like that. So I think that that's kind of a great general thing for most people to take.
So you actually touched on something that I've been wondering lately. Yeah. You said that you need to take a good probiotic. What are some like things you should look for when you are picking out your probiotic? Because I feel like there's so many out there. And I actually just recently read that you should keep your probiotic in the fridge, which I had no idea. And I've been taking probiotics for like 3 months now. So I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, it's so hard. It's funny. I literally just wrote a blog post about this. Well, not just a few weeks ago, but because it's so important. There are so many supplements out there, and I'm actually writing a post about that today. But probiotics, if there's one type of supplement that you really need to make sure you get from a reputable company, I would say it would be a probiotic, and then not to get off topic, but a fish oil. Just because probiotics are live, you know, they're actually living organisms. And so the way that they're stored and kept is really important. So the things you kind of want to look for when you're looking at a label is the CFU. That's like the actual amount of units of bacteria. So the higher that is per capsule, the more probiotics you're getting. So that's kind of an important number to look at. The other thing is, not all of them have to be refrigerated. There are probiotics that are actually okay to be stored at room temperature, but I prefer to give those to people only if they're traveling or, let's say, you know, they have like a life circumstance where they're not able to refrigerate them. For the most part, I like ones that are refrigerated because that just means that, you know, they're probably they're going to live longer. So that's important to look at. And then the strains are really important to look at. So obviously, most people know about like lactobacillus and different ones like that, but different strains are actually effective for different conditions. So if you want a general probiotic, you kind of want one that has most strains in it. So like a good multi-strain. And then if you are looking for one, you know, like a feminine one or one for like your moods, then you can kind of do your research or see a doctor to find out what you should take. But those are kind of the important things to look at on your label.
That's such helpful information.
I'm glad.
I didn't realize there are so many different strains. I think I was like looking at my bottle and it said like a couple thousand strains on it. And I was like, what? In this little tiny capsule?
It's crazy.
So I actually also wanted to touch on how you mentioned aloe before. How do you recommend ingesting aloe? Like, do you put it in smoothies or do you just like put it on toast or?
So I take it by itself, which is not that fun. Some people like that and some people don't. But because it is one of those demulcent herbs, if you can mix it in smoothies, definitely. But the whole thing is it's like this cooling, healing, amazing gel, like exactly what it does for your skin in a sunburn. It's going to do that kind of for the lining of your gut. So taking it on its own is kind of the most effective way to go because you're going to get the most like healing and cooling benefits. But again, I would rather someone put it in their smoothie than to like not take it at all.
Right. Since you touched on skin from a naturopathic doctor point of view, what are some good skin tips?
Skin tips, one, treat your skin from within. I know that sounds like really cliche. I have struggled with acne my entire life. I was born with eczema literally from the day that I came out. And there's been periods of time where I've just been covered from head to toe. So I really like understand. And I have tried everything from steroids to like every product you could imagine at Sephora to UV therapy booths, everything. Nothing worked until I took care of my body from the inside. So I would, if you are struggling with skin conditions, that's when I would really, really focus on gut health. And I would see a practitioner who can do like a stool test and really assess the function of your gut. And then I would really focus on, I would kind of adopt like, honestly, like an anti-inflammatory diet and almost treat it like an autoimmune condition. So that's a really good way to go. Trying to think of other things. There's just so many things that I love. And then another thing is stress reduction. It really has so much to do with your stress and your hormones. So those are different things to kind of look at.
So interesting. Yeah, I love that you said heal from within because I feel like so many times we just try and like, you know, put toothpaste on our face to try and like get rid of the pimple when really there's an underlying reason. Like your body is trying to tell you something and that's what you need to, you know, address.
Right. And then, sorry, I forgot to mention this, but you know, I always kind of focus on the emunctory, so the ways that you're getting your toxins out. So, you know, you get them out through your kidneys and urine, through your bowels, is how you're getting out, like, the fat-soluble toxins, like hormones and things like that, and then through your sweat. So oftentimes if someone has, like, a skin condition, one of those is lacking. So, like, for me, I never sweat. So I did things like go in an infrared sauna, take a hot yoga class, like, force myself to sweat. Another one is really focusing on your bowels. Like, you're not going to have clear, glowing skin or clear skin from rashes and stuff if you're not eliminating your hormones and your toxins properly through your stools. So it's a huge one, too.
Wow, that actually totally makes sense, but I would never think that.
Yeah.
So I also find it really interesting that you said not only do you treat patients in person, but you treat them virtually. So yeah. How does that work?
So that's something that I'm doing. It's been a little bit of a new process. I'm trying to work through it, but telehealth is kind of becoming really popular, like concierge medicine. And there's so many people that I meet online and they're like, they don't live in Orange County. And so I actually see them very similar to what I'm doing with you right now. So I take patients over like Skype or Zoom and, you know, I'll look at their skin, get up close and personal as much as I can. I can't do physical exams, obviously, but I basically do the exact same thing I would do in the office, just over like a virtual platform.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's been really great.
And what drew you to this type of medicine? I mean, I feel like there's so many different types of medicine out there between like even holistic doctors and functional medicine. Like, what drew you to this naturopathic science specifically?
So because I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, and like health was just not very emphasized there. And that was like 10, 15 years ago or so. And I really did struggle with like really bad allergies, acne. I had a lot of like chronic pain and inflammation and eczema when I was younger. And my mom just constantly took me to doctors and I was on steroids and antibiotic after antibiotic and nothing was really working. And she kind of randomly went into this little health food store one day and met a woman and kind of she got into like alternative medicine. And so I really started seeing how alternative medicine was helping me personally and affecting like the health of my family and friends. And then fast forward to college, I always knew I wanted to be a doctor. I just thought I would do like alternative holistic care, like on the side or something like that. And then I met someone at a health fair that was from a naturopathic medical school. And I was like, oh my God, this is the perfect fit for me because I really believe that like sometimes you need pharmaceuticals. I really believe in conventional medicine. I think it's so important in everything, but I also believe in like natural medicine as well. But I really believe in things that are evidence-based and kind of scientifically proven. So it really was the perfect combination for me because I knew I wanted to like be able to look at labs and treat and diagnose, but I also wanted to talk about self-care and stress and self-love and spirituality and all that kind of stuff. So it was just like kind of the perfect blend for me.
It really does sound like it's the perfect balance between Western medicine and holistic medicine.
Definitely. Yeah. It's very integrative, which is what I love about it.
And what does the training for that look like?
So you have to do your pre-medical kind of like prerequisites, just like you would if you were going to like be a physician's assistant or go to a DO program or a conventional medical school. So I got my degree in public health sciences, but took all of, like the pre-medical requisites. And then you go to a 4-year naturopathic medical school. Mm-hmm. There's 6 or 7 in the US and a lot more in Canada, actually. So you do that for 4 years. And for the first 2 years, it's almost identical to like a conventional medical school where we do like basically we do bio and histology and pathology and all that stuff. And then the last 2 years, we take a lot of classes. Like we can actually in physical medicine and botanical medicine and like nutrients, lifestyle medicine, things like that. And then when you get out, it's not required for us to do a residency right now, but I think that it will be soon. So that's kind of the process.
That's really cool. And for people who are interested in learning more about that field or, you know, are just interested in it, regardless if they want to study it or not, do you have any book or podcast recommendations for them?
So I wish there was a good book that I could recommend. There's just not that much about, like, honestly, about what naturopathic medicine is, unfortunately. I would have them look at the Institute for Natural Health online, And then the American Association for Naturopathic Physicians, the AANP online, is kind of the best resource to kind of explain like the principles of naturopathic medicine and what it is. I wish there was more people with podcasts. Dr. Prezzorno, I will have to get his name spelling properly. I wish I could spell it off the top of my head. He was actually like a co-founder for my school, Bastyr University, and he taught some of our classes. He has a really, really great podcast, so I would suggest listening to him. But if you want to learn more about like the actual field, I think online, those websites would be the best way to go.
So cool. I love that. Hopefully, you know, in the future, there will be more bloggers and podcasters and books out there.
Yeah.
So I have one last question for you. And that is, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh, my favorite flavor is the Pink Lady Apple, I think.
That's my favorite.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with it. It's so good. I like just had some this morning. I love it so much.
And where can everybody find you on social media?
My blog is Naturonika, N-A-T-U-R-O-N-I-K-K-A. And then if people are interested in learning more about like what I do as a naturopathic doctor or my services, my website is www.drkanani.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We learned so much from you.